The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Stock futures slip, pointing to deeper losses for U.S. markets. Plus, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen drums up additional support for Ukraine in Europe. And more subprime borrowers are falling behind on loan payments.
If we continue to see the current trends playing out, we could end up seeing lenders tightening underwriting standards, essentially making it harder for people to get approved for financing.
It's Thursday, May 19th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Global stocks retreated this morning, tracking Wednesday's sell-off that saw the S&P and Dow Jones Industrials suffer their worst percentage declines since 2020. And WSJ Europe finance editor Alex Frangos says there could be more trouble on the horizon.
Futures early Thursday morning were pointing to another drop on Wall Street on Thursday. S&P 500 futures were down, and if they're down enough, we could see the market open in a bear market territory, which would be the first time since the pandemic and would really mark a great undoing of a huge surge in stocks over the last couple of years.
U.S. President Joe Biden is departing for Asia today for the first time since taking office. The visit is aimed at refocusing attention on a top foreign policy priority of countering China, a task that has been overshadowed by the war in Ukraine. Biden is set to visit close allies Japan and South Korea. He will also shore up a partnership with Australia and India and formally unveil an economic initiative designed to bolster trade and investment with the region. The president isn't the only top U.S. official on international travel this week. We'll get the latest on Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's ongoing visit to Europe later in the show. The head of the United Nations has warned that the war in Ukraine, along with other global crises, could lead to mass hunger and famine because of the impact on food production and prices around the world. In a post on Twitter on Thursday, Antonio Guterres said that tens of millions of people face food insecurity and malnutrition. Soaring food prices are triggering shortages and protests across the developing world, as disruption from the Ukraine war adds to existing strains on global supplies of grains, meat, and other foods. And the Biden administration is invoking the Defense Production Act, the Korean War-era National Security Mobilization Law, to increase the production of baby formula. It is also launching a program that would use commercial aircraft to pick up overseas formula that meets U.S. standards. The White House has come under pressure in recent days to address the shortage caused by a mix of supply chain issues and a recall. An increasing number of subprime borrowers are missing their loan payments, according to credit reporting firm Equifax. Wall Street Journal consumer lending reporter Anna Maria Andriotis has been tracking this pattern of consumers falling behind on their payments, and she joins us now with more. Hi, Anna Maria. Thank you for being with us.
Great to be speaking with you.
So walk us through, if you could, what is going on now. What kind of loans exactly are we talking about here, and who, generally speaking, isn't able to pay?
We're talking about a variety of loans, car loans, personal loans, and credit cards. And we're talking about people who are defined as being subprime. That generally means that they have low credit scores, either because they have a limited history of borrowing from banks and other mainstream financial institutions, or because their history includes missed payments and other sort of financial blemishes that has put them into the low credit score category. So what's happening is that after delinquency delinquencies fell to super low levels last year for a variety of reasons. What we're seeing now is several months of consecutive increases in missed payments on these loan categories. And also notable is that these missed payments are 60 days or more behind. March marked the fifth monthly increase of year-over-year increases. In the case of car loans and leases, we're actually at record levels. So this is even higher than what it was pre-pandemic.
And so what might all of that tell us about the spending power of borrowers and potentially what it might mean for lenders if the financial health of borrowers is declining?
So this reveals that the financial health of subprime consumers is declining, and this is happening for several reasons. One, consumers got used to receiving financial benefits from the government that they previously hadn't received, really until the pandemic kicked in. This was basically an infusion of cash that allowed people to pay down bills they otherwise wouldn't have been able to pay. Well, that cash, those benefits are gone now. In addition, inflation is having an impact. So these consumers basically have to make a decision between paying for necessities or paying for their loans. If we continue to see the current trends playing out, what we could end up seeing is lenders tightening underwriting standards, essentially pulling back on lending, making it harder for people to get approved for financing. So this could be limited to just subprime consumers, making it harder for them to get approved, or it could extend to other groups of consumers as well. If banks get concerned, if the investors that play a critical role in non-bank lending get concerned, that would result in either higher costs for borrowing for consumers or just less availability of new loans for them.
That was WSJ consumer lending reporter Anna Maria Andriotis. Anna Maria, thank you for the update.
Thanks so much.
Coming up, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is in Europe, and providing financial aid to Ukraine will be high on her agenda when she meets with G7 finance ministers and central bank governors today and tomorrow. We'll have that story after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is in Europe this week meeting with EU leaders, and today she'll kick off a meeting in Germany of G7 finance ministers and central bankers. WSJ economic policy reporter Andy Duren has been following Yellen around Europe this week, and he joins us now from the press center in Bonn, Germany, with an update on the many issues that she is hoping to advance. Hi, Andy. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so Secretary Yellen has been pretty vocal about drumming up support for Ukraine lately. What are the G7 countries planning to do to help the country?
Yeah, so that's one of the main topics of discussion for the finance ministers meeting here in Germany of the G7 allies. The United States is finalizing a package in Congress that would provide $40 billion for Ukraine, with almost $9 billion of that in economic aid. And so Secretary Yellen has really sought to try and beef up what Europe and the G7 allies are also doing and try and match what the U.S. is committed to providing. And so it sounds like the EU is putting the finishing touches on their own aid package. The G7 finance ministers are discussing a $15 billion aid package, economic aid package for Ukraine. And so everyone's hoping to wrap that up and put the finishing touches on that at these meetings, and so that it can move forward and send the money onto Ukraine.
Have you noticed a change in sort of what kind of support is being discussed as it looks like this war is going to drag on and Ukraine would need sort of longer term support maybe?
I think that's something that everyone is working on. Most of the aid that the United States is committed to providing takes the form of grants, so just money that Ukraine can use and doesn't have to pay back. I think one topic of discussion this week will be how much of the money that the EU and other G7 partners provide to Ukraine takes the form of grants or takes the form of low interest loans. I think The U.S. is pushing for, you know, its partners to also give grants rather than loans. But I think that's going to be a topic of discussion, is just what the how the aid is structured in the short term. And then looking to the future, you know, obviously some of the money that these Western countries are giving right now is meant to just keep the lights on in the Ukrainian government, help them pay soldiers, pay civil servants, pay for critical infrastructure and things like that. But in the future, you know, rebuilding Ukraine and repairing a lot of the damage that the war has done to the country is going to be a much bigger and more complicated set of questions. And so there are also going to be early conversations about how to structure that money and who controls it and just what that process might look like.
Andy, yesterday the EU unveiled a more than $300 billion plan that it said would end its dependence on Russian energy within 5 years. Has Secretary Yellen weighed in on that?
Secretary Yellen has been very supportive of European efforts to reduce their dependence on Russian energy sales. I think she has raised some concerns about how exactly that's done. She wants to make sure that global energy prices don't spike in the near term and, you know, possibly risk slowing down the economy globally. One of her focuses this week has been to communicate with her European partners and counterparts about what she sees as maybe some of the possible spillovers of some of these moves and just ensuring that global energy markets are not disrupted too drastically in the near term. I think what she's saying this week is we definitely want to be supportive of European efforts to reduce their reliance or end their reliance on Russian energy, but we should be very thoughtful about how we do that and the spillover effects that that could have. And so in recent days, she's talked about these ideas of alternative ideas of a price, putting a price cap on Russian oil to try and limit what the Kremlin can charge Europe for energy, and then or putting a tariff on Russian oil. And she said that, you know, these ideas could happen in conjunction with an embargo, that these are some steps that could happen in the interim.
Andy, what other issues are on Secretary Yellen's agenda in these G7 meetings?
So yeah, definitely the war in Ukraine, how to support Ukraine, how to punish Russia, and the global minimum tax are definitely some of the main agenda items. I think there will continue to be discussions on other topics that require international coordination, including responding to COVID-19. And then also the war in Ukraine has raised a lot of concerns about hunger globally. Both Ukraine and Russia are major exporters of wheat and other agricultural products. And so you're already starting to see food prices and food availability get or in some issues around the world. And so I think Secretary Yellen has been very focused on trying to do what she can, what the U.S. can, what international financial institutions like the World Bank can do to try and help address some of that. But that remains a major challenge when you're in the middle of a war. Obviously, exporting products becomes a lot more complicated and difficult and impossible in certain instances. So that will be another, I think, major area of focus over the course of the next couple of days. So Secretary Yellen has been very consistent about, on the one hand, supporting European efforts to wean themselves off Russian energy and to try and reduce the revenue that Russia derives from its oil and gas sales to Europe, which, you know, remain a major source of revenue for the Kremlin. On the other hand, she has repeatedly said that, you know, Europe should be cautious about and that the world should be cautious about the steps they take on this issue. The European Commission said this week that a sudden halt in Russian gas access to Europe could send the bloc into a recession.
That was WSJ economic policy reporter Andy Duren joining us today from Bonn, Germany. Andy, thank you so much for the update.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, we've got some good news for parents who worry that video games are rotting their kids' minds. That's because a recent review of more than a decade's worth of gaming studies has found that adolescent and young adult gamers actually outperformed non-gamers in a number of cognitive functions. Though WSJ family and tech columnist Julie Jargon says there are, of course, some caveats.
So there are other screen habits that I've looked into, including watching a lot of short, fast-paced videos like those that you find on TikTok and YouTube. There have been studies that have found that that type of screen watching has been linked to shortened attention spans. There's also the practice of media multitasking, becoming distracted by notifications and trying to do too many things at once. Studies have shown that causes a bottleneck in the brain. But gaming is a different type of activity that requires a lot of attention and focus. There's also a lot of socializing that happens. Kids working together to develop strategies to complete a mission, just hanging out, chatting with friends is a big social component of it too. So it's a very different type of activity than a more passive activity like watching video after video on TikTok.
And that's What's News for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.